chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to play out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass may dab in the middle of it.
The secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. We're going to be concentrating on this vaccine problem again. And I know it's getting old, an old saw out there, but this is probably the most important thing to our nation and maintaining our freedom and liberty to uncover what's really going on this. And we're going to start off with Greg Reese, and he's got a very poisonous, detrimental addition to some of these vaccines that he's going to reveal to us. So here we go with Greg Reese. We're going to follow that by Peter Collins and what he said about the Wuhan lab being a conspiracy theory. So here we go with Greg Reese starting out this first hour.
On October 25th of 2021, the CDC released an order continuing to deceptively act as if they have that authority, requiring proof of negative COVID tests from all international air travelers 2 years old and up boarding a flight to the United States beginning on December 6th. The passenger has to be tested within 24 hours of travel. To meet these CDC requirements, the tests can be self-administered. The tests are not approved by the FDA, but have been greenlit under the Emergency Use Authorization Authority. So if anything goes wrong, the manufacturer is free of liability. What could go wrong is that Abbott has included the lethal drug sodium azide into the do-it-yourself test kit. Sodium azide has caused deaths for decades. Even minute amounts can cause organ damage, sowing most of its damage into the heart and brain. There is a small warning and instructions not to touch the swab to the reagent solution, the lethal sodium azide. But mistakes happen, and there have been several deaths and injuries in hospitals and laboratories by trained professionals handling sodium azide. In one instance, sodium azide was poured down a drain, causing it to explode and release toxic gas. Sodium azide is fatal if swallowed, fatal in contact with skin, and fatal if inhaled. And it is now included in over-the-counter test kits for frantic everyday citizens to hurry through a day before international travel, including two-year-olds. What could go wrong? For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Coming up next is an interview that Brett Baer had with Francis Collins, the outgoing director of the National Institute of Health. And towards the end of this interview, he says that the Wuhan, the idea that that this virus came out of Wuhan or somehow escaped out of there or something, that's a conspiracy theory. Here we have an outgoing, director saying that. Nobody believes that anymore. But here we go with that interview. And this is really eye-opening. These are the people that are head of these big institutions. I'm glad we're getting rid of him. But here we go with this interview now.
Pfizer, one of the chief vaccine makers, Friday predicted the COVID pandemic could last until 2024, just in time for the next election. Joining me now, Dr. Francis Collins, the outgoing director of the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Collins, welcome back to Fox News Sunday.
Nice to be with you, Brett. It's my last day as NIH director. Glad to join you for part of it.
We appreciate your last stop being here. Doctor, on that note, it does seem like we're going backwards here.
Well, Omicron is certainly providing a very serious challenge. This variant virus with its 57 mutations is certainly a difficult one for us to cope with because it is so contagious. more than Delta, more than Alpha, Beta, all of the other previous variants pale by comparison in terms of the rate at which this one is spreading, doubling every 2 to 3 days, first in South Africa, now in parts of Europe, and the U.S. is on that exponential curve right now. So we're in for a world of trouble, I'm afraid, in the next month or two. But there are things people can do, and I hope we can talk about that, because this is not one of those situations where we're just helplessly facing the oncoming virus. We have things we can do, and especially those are vaccines and boosters and being careful about masking again. And I know people are sick of hearing this, but the virus is not sick of us. It's thrown us a new curveball, and we got to be ready to hit it.
Can you definitively say that Omicron is less severe?
I cannot say that for the U.S. I have seen data as recently as yesterday from South Africa. And let me just say that South African scientists have been incredibly transparent about everything they know. And what I saw yesterday does seem to indicate that in South Africa, there is less hospitalization, and the people who are getting hospitalized are less likely to be in the ICU. But remember, that's a different population that's generally younger. Most people in South Africa already had Delta, so they have some immunity from that. They don't have boosters there, so we have that on our side. Just think we ought to be careful not to extrapolate from what we've seen. But I'm hopeful that that is an indication that while incredibly contagious, this virus is maybe a bit less likely to make people really sick. And obviously, that's something we got to hope for, or our health systems are going to be overwhelmed.
You know, the NFL is already postponing Week 15 games due to COVID outbreaks in the league. The NCAA teams are changing things. The NBA, the NHL has postponed. Here's the issue. The NFL, the NBA, the NHL, they have vaccination rates at 95, 97, almost 100%. So what do you say to people, and some of those are boosted. Many of those players are already boosted. What do you say to people who look at that and say, what happened to vaccination being the solution to getting back to normal life?
Brett, I'm glad you're asking that, because while vaccination does not prevent the possibility of a breakthrough, it greatly reduces that. It certainly has for Delta. And for Omicron, if you've had 2 doses of Pfizer or Moderna, you are somewhat protected against the breakthrough infection. If you have a booster, you're much better protected, up there around the sort of 85 to 90% rate. So their vaccinations are going to be very much part of our solution here, and everybody should take advantage of them. But they're not perfect. This is where I get upset, because people point to anecdotes of somebody who got sick even though they had been vaccinated and said, there, you see, it doesn't work. That's way too simplistic. If you've gotten sick after vaccination, the chances are you're going to have a pretty mild case. You'll have the sniffles maybe, or sick for a day or two with a fever, but you won't be in the ICU. The vaccinations are really good at protecting against severe disease. We should all take advantage of them. And it's got to be really, really frustrating in this country with all of its technological advance that we still have about 50 million people who haven't even gotten started on vaccinations. Yeah. How did that happen? How do we get all this so mixed up with social media misinformation and political insertion into the discussion? This is the thing for me on my last day as NIH director that I find particularly frustrating.
Yeah. Dr. Collins, we always hear follow the science, and you know science is observation, description, experimentation, and explanation. But it seems that a lot of health policymakers have been trying to silence opposing views. In a newly released set of emails received from Freedom of Information Act between you and Dr. Fauci in October of 2020, you referenced the Great Barrington Declaration. That was a group of epidemiologists and public health scientists' concerns about the damaging physical and mental health impacts of prevailing COVID-19 policies. Continuing current lockdown policies are producing devastating effects on short and long-term public health. In this email to Dr. Fauci and Cliff Lane at NIH, you write, quote, "Hi, Tony and Cliff, see," and you connect to that Great Barrington Declaration link, "this proposal from 3 fringe epidemiologists who met with the secretary seems to be getting a lot of attention, and even a co-signature from a Nobel Prize winner, Mike Leavitt, at Stanford. There needs to be a quick and devastating public takedown of its premises. I don't see anything like that online yet. Is it underway?" Francis, did you write that?
I did write that, and why? I will stand by that. Let me explain. What was being proposed there was basically saying, let's not worry about mitigation. Let's just let this virus rip. This is, of course, before we had vaccines. And basically, these, I will call them fringe epidemiologists who really did not have the credentials to be making such a grand sweeping statement, were saying, just let the virus run through the population and eventually then everybody will have had it and we'll be okay. Hundreds of thousands of people would have died if we had followed that strategy. So I'm sorry. I was opposed to that. I still am, and I'm not going to apologize for it. There are times when people make crazy proposals on the basis of pseudoscience, and that needs to be called out.
Right, but I guess it just follows this track with the early days downplaying or trying to discredit the lab leak theory from Wuhan. Why spend the time doing that when we're talking about observation, description, experimentation, and explanation? I mean, now it seems like the lab leak is a real possibility.
Well, Brett, I'm really sorry that the lab leak has become such a distraction for so many people, because frankly, we still don't know. There is no evidence really to say. Most of the scientific community, myself included, think that is a possibility, but far more likely this was a natural way in which a virus left a bat, maybe traveled through some other species and got to humans, and there was no lab leak involved. We won't know unless China decides to open up about this, which they have not done, and shame on them for that.
Dr.
But
Collins,
this has been a huge distraction.
Everybody should take this seriously is your bottom line message.
Yes. Yeah, we got to remember, this is the enemy. It's not the other people in the other political party. It's not the people on Facebook who are posting all sorts of crazy conspiracies. This is the enemy. We in this country have somehow gotten all fractured into a hyper-polarized, politicized view that never should have been mixed with public health. It's been ruinous. And history will judge harshly those people who have continued to defocus the effort and focus on conspiracies and things that are demonstrably false. Shame on all of us that we've gotten into this kind of pickle. We could still turn this around, but, you know, it's Christmas, so let's think about that. Let's think about how our weary world could maybe start rejoicing, because we have a gift coming to us on Christmas Day that ought to be better than any of the things we're talking about right now. But, boy, do we need to get together.
Yeah. Dr. Collins, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and thank you for the service to the country.
Thanks, Brad. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Dr. Collins is full of disinformation and outright just distortions of the truth. And there's no two ways about it, is that what he was saying is not even close. There's plenty of facts about the Wuhan being the source of the leak or whatever, intentionally or accidentally, we don't know. All the ideas and the facts are based around that, because the Chinese they put a lid on it. But what he's saying, Dr. Collins, is just outright outlandishly distorting the truth. I mean, it's like a lie almost. In my opinion, he's a liar. You know that, and so good riddance with him. We don't need him as heading up the National Institute of Health anymore. And I don't know who's going to take his place. But anyway, coming up next is an interview that Jeff Rentz had with Eric Kahn, who's a nanotech expert. And there's a Nurse Ann is what they call her, because she didn't want to give her real name in the hospital she works at. But what's really important about this is that this nurse is dedicating 12 to 13 hours a day in intensive care, taking care of between 4 to 6 patients, which I think normally in intensive care there should be 2 patients per nurse or 1 nurse per 2 patients. But they're overloaded because there's a lot of people that resign in the nurses on this hospital because they were trying to force them to take the vaccination. But anyway, Ann has resisted taking that and has exercised certain exemptions. But she's testifying that every patient that she has in her ward were all vaccinated. They've got strokes, they've got coagulation problems, clots, and everything else. But here we go with that very insightful, and you have to call this anecdotal because we can't factually prove this up, because she doesn't want to reveal her real name and the hospital she works at for confidentiality. And I'll tell you one thing. I've been on the air for a long time, 15 years plus. And when I hear someone speak, I can detect the authenticity of what they're saying and the credibility. And this Nurse Ann is a credible source of information. So here we go next with that interview.
I was just going to say that there really isn't. I don't think a case to be made for remdesivir under any circumstances based on its toxicity, and then to be prescribing it based on a PCR test that they've already admitted is unreliable. It was never intended to be a diagnostic.
It's being dropped permanently forever on December 31st, never to be used again for this charade that they're pulling off. This has been 2 years of essentially mass murder, in my humble view. I'm not speaking for Ann or Erica. I view this as mass murder.
Oh, it is.
I agree. I mean, a lot of the things that I've seen in the last couple of weeks is, and that's the thing, like, they're young. There's young people. They're coming in, and it's a lot of strokes. People who never had strokes before, they present with one side of their body being weak, and the speech was affected as well. Did it be aphasic? Many of them were found by their loved ones at home, unresponsive. And then you would do the CT, and you would see like things like an acute. Acute like clots in the MCA was a big one. The PCAs was another one. And there was a couple of times where there was occlusions on multiple sides. I mean, those were the patients that truly would not make it when it was on both sides. And the kicker was, this was the kicker, the patient would have had in their history AFib, and they would have been on Eliquis at home.
Okay. I'm also continually interested in the idea of this spike protein doing so many things. We could make a list of things that it is alleged to do. The people that made it, it's a synthetic protein. Remember those. This was manufactured. Right, Erica, or tweaked?
Yeah, it's a designer protein.
Jeez. All right, here's Ann. I don't know if you've heard this. This is a doctor in South Africa. He's going to, there's about a 12-minute piece. I'm just going to play about a minute of it. But he talks about his professional opinion about the spike protein.
Why is that there? Now, the most important thing, I think, for us to understand is that the pathogen that was causing all the death in COVID illness. Now, I use the word COVID illness because we haven't really isolated the coronavirus that causes it. But in COVID illness, the pathogen is spike protein. And spike protein is what the vaccine is meant to make in your body. So if I had to give you my opinion as to what is happening on a global scale, and a lot of the work that I'm doing behind the scenes is in this direction. Spike protein is one of the most contrived toxins or poisons that man has ever made. And the aim of this toxin is to kill billions without anyone noticing it. So it's a poison with an agenda. Now, we've got an engineered virus, and we've got a mandated vaccine that follow on each other. So basically what looks like has transpired here, they've engineered a virus and put on this weapons-grade package onto it called spike protein.
Pretty smart, huh?
Yeah.
So that's the game. So these people who come in to your hospital and all hospitals are being treated by healthcare professionals, many of whom understand what they're doing, and they're still doing it. Oh, I have my mortgage. I've got to take care of my family. I understand that, but what they're really doing, well, let me relabel them. They are accessories to murder, either willfully or out of ignorance. These people are being killed in that hospital. you don't go from 50 million cases of influenza 2 winters ago to 2,300 last winter. Those people had flu, and they went into the hospitals, and they were given remdesivir and falsely diagnosed with COVID and killed. That's how they did it. Is that an excessive statement, Anne, or is that correct?
I've never seen, I'll be honest, I've never seen anything like this. This is, I would have said it's baffling only for the fact that there's so many people that I've seen over the last number of months now, and that they're all vaccinated, and yet they're coming in presenting with massive strokes, like MIs, respiratory failure, requiring intubation, requiring life support, requiring very invasive procedures to remove clots, requiring anticoagulation. I mean, I've never seen that. I mean, I've just not seen that on such a grand scale. Now, stroke has always been a risk for people that have had other comorbidities, but certainly not at this level. And again, I go back to the 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds, and the 60-year-olds.
All vaxxed.
Vaxxed. All vaxxed. 100%.
The campaign to blame somehow the unvaccinated, those who choose not to take the bioweapon, as being evil and a threat to society. Is that being passed to staff in the hospital?
Well, the staff are seeing it now for themselves. Staff are definitely asking questions. Like they're actually saying things like, if you get a vaccination for something and you are vaccinated for a disease, then in theory, that disease should no longer be an issue if you're vaccinated against it. I mean, that's how a vaccine works. So they start talking amongst themselves and they say, well, why are we seeing people who are vaccinated, not just once or twice, but 3 times now, we're seeing them come in and be admitted with a diagnosis of COVID for the very disease that they were supposed to be vaccinated for in the first place.
But
so people are asking questions.
How could it take them 2 years to ask questions like this? They live in a bubble? It seems to me they're professionals and they should be somewhat interested in what's going on around them. This is really...
I do think part of it was fear and the possibility of losing their livelihood, and they complied with the hospital rules and regulations regarding the vaccines. And another thing, for anyone who has the vaccine, like, they possibly think, what if that could be me? I mean, they're taking care of patients and they're probably asking themselves, what if this was me?
Are they beginning to realize that the immune system is failing? It's dying in these people. Are they beginning to? Yes. Are they beginning to understand yet that the immune system has been attacked and destroyed?
Yeah, they're seeing all of that. It's very evident now that it's. But the question is what does one do in this scenario? I mean, you're seeing it, and then you have an institution saying.
But do they know? Excuse me, Anne. Do they know what's going on here? Do they know that the immune system has been destroyed? I know they're seeing it. I get that. But do they know that they have a patient with no immunological competence anymore? Do they know that?
I do believe, because a few of them mentioned that they were doing some of their own research now. And that was the first time I actually heard them say that. Now, the previous hospital that I worked in before I went to this one, we talked about this all the time, and there was a lot of discussion about it. So we were seeing it when we were on the front line the first time around, and we amongst ourselves as nurses would ask those questions. But the this particular hospital I'm in, the nurses who would have asked the questions probably are no longer there. Because keep in mind, they do realize that there's an immune system attack, and that it's through the blood. This is the sophistication of it all. It's through the blood because there's not one patient that hasn't presented with clots in some form. Not one.
Wow. Erica?
Yeah, as we were talking about earlier, I think that the first target of this shot, the spike protein, is the blood. And from there, it just goes downhill. And the way the shot works, or the injection works, is completely brutal, unnatural. I mean, you're asking your body cells to produce a lethal protein.
And did you
maybe
see
some
what
people can neutralize it and maybe others can't?
Right. And did you see in the last hour the pictures of blood after someone has been injected? Go ahead.
Yeah, yes, I do. Yes, I want to talk to you about that. So this is classically what I'm seeing as well. So, you know, as nurses, we have to draw daily labs on the patients that are in the hospital. We're monitoring daily labs.
Sure.
And what's happening is the IVs that we put in for, if there's fluid that isn't constantly running in through the IV gets clotted up. That's the first thing. And then if you have to draw blood and you don't have a central line to draw the blood out of and you have to go in through their veins, the blood, when we're using the butterfly apparatus, the blood is so thick it won't come through the tube. And it's black. It's jet black. So it's common all the time. All the time, 100% this is happening. So
jet
what happens is when we can no longer get the veins to give us blood,
right?
We end up having to have the doctors put in a central line, and then we try to access the blood through a central line. So you get a little bit more flow and powerful flow through a central line as opposed to just from the regular vein. But even then, the central lines are also clotting if they're not getting infusions or fluids through there.
Central line would go into an artery, most likely.
Correct.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay.
You go into a subclavian artery, or they'll do the jugular sometimes as well.
Really? Oh.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
So you, all of you people in there.
What we started off with was Erica Kahn was talking about remdesivir. Remdesivir has been very detrimental to the people's health. It's knocked out their kidneys, put them on ventilators because of accumulation in the lungs of fluid, and then right straight to the death, you know, to the graveyard. So the remdesivir has been very, very dangerous, and all of these health officials have been recommending that for treatment early on. And this is really shouldn't be used whatsoever. But anyway, what we have coming up next is a pronouncement by Alex. And it's leading off with what Trump has made some pronouncements lately about the vaccine and the boosters. And we just cannot approve of his statements. We just got to call him out on this. And Alex has stood up, and other people, friends of mine, have stood up and said, hey, you've got to stop talking and making these vaccines credible because they're very dangerous to people's health. And that's what my opinion is now. That spike protein, according to McCullough, Dr. McCullough, and many other authorities, is really ruinous to our health. And so here we go with what Alex has said recently about the pronouncements by former President Trump. Here we go next.
The vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917, remember the Spanish flu, killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm-hmm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take 5 to 12 years.
This is an emergency Christmas Day warning to President Trump. You are either completely ignorant about the so-called vaccine gene therapy that you helped ram through with Operation Warp Speed, or you're one of the most evil men who has ever lived. To push this toxic poison on the public and to attack your constituents when they simply try to save their lives and the lives of others. We're about to lay out the basic incontrovertible facts that what you told Candace Owens just a few days ago is nothing but a raft of dirty lies.
And yet more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, under Joe Biden.
Right.
Than under you, and more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
Recently, Candace Owens attempted to confront you politely face-to-face with the fact that these so-called vaccines are causing a lot of death and illnesses. And you doubled down, saying that nobody has been hurt by these shots when that is just a flat-out lie. It's on record they cause myocarditis and heart attacks. And then you tripled down on top of that and said that 90% of people in the hospitals around the world have not had the vaccine. When the facts and the statistics show the opposite, in Germany, in the UK, in the US, in Canada, across the world, in places like Israel, the double and triple vaxxed are more than 2 times likely to become sick and to be hospitalized and or die. In fact, a new study came out just this week. Here it is for you to research it, President Trump. Within 3 months, you are twice as likely to become infected by the Omicron variant if you took the Pfizer vaccine. That's because it's erasing your immune system. And that was the plan. Erase the population's immune system and make them dependent on ongoing gene therapies that have to be taken as often as every day. That is the plan, the big pharma takeover of humanity via the immune system. From day one of the so-called vaccines rollout, Pfizer and the FDA have fought tooth and nail to stop any documents being released to medical whistleblower groups. But in the last 2 months, federal courts have ordered the FDA to release several tranches of millions of pages of documents. The first two data dumps show conclusively that the so-called vaccine has caused thousands and thousands of deaths and more than 160,000 adverse reactions, including spontaneous abortions and miscarriages.
We're going to end up this first hour with Dr. Zelenko and out of New York, and he's got some overwhelming things to say about this, so from now to the end of the program, when you hear the closing music, that'll be the end, but we'll cut off Zelenko's interview at that time. It won't be the complete interview, but we'll put up links on our page here. So come into thesecrettruth.com, and you'll be able to pick up and pick up on those links to hear the complete interview of what Dr. Zelenko says. And he has some protocols and some medicine and stuff like that to help people. So you can go to his site also. We'll have his site on there also. But I want to thank everybody for listening. We're just going to go to the end of Zelenko. I won't come back on, and then we'll hear the music, and then we'll close out this first hour. But come into thesecrettruth.com and click on some of those shared videos. You'll get the complete interview that way, and we're only putting up excerpts and clips of some of those interviews. So anyway, here we go with Dr. Zelenko, and he says that this is a mark of the beast, and this would be a Christian, very conservative Christian viewpoint, and it could very well be true. So here we go with Dr. Zelenko.
We're talking about a force of evil that has always used human slavery as an asset. Slavery has always been the most lucrative industry in the history of humanity. And these people are amoral. They're not immoral. They are amoral, which means they are moral when it's expedient to them. They're immoral when it's expedient to them. They support the Jews when it's expedient to them. They support the Christians when it's useful to them. And then they set the Jews against the Christians and vice versa when it's useful for them. They're capitalists when they need to be. They're communists when they need to be. This level of malevolence transcends all of these systems that they have set, and they play games and create chaos and geopolitical destabilization in order to promote their own agenda. In this particular case, it became obvious to everyone that there was going to be a huge economic collapse, and they were threatened. So what have they done? They've initiated a plan over the last 30 years that will result in, when the system collapses and the dust settles, they will have the new financial infrastructure and control mechanisms to lead to the ultimate enslavement of humanity. You know who Barbara Marx Hubbard was?
Yes.
Okay, she is the demonic mother of the New World Order. She, I hope she burns in hell for all eternity. She, and I'm going to read you a few quotes from her that will explain to you the philosophy. She's the ideology, the mother of the ideology of Klaus Schwab, let's say. One-fourth of humanity must be eliminated from the social body. So, quote, we are in charge of God's selection process for planet Earth. He selects, we destroy. We are the riders of the pale horse death, end quote. Another quote from her. This act is as horrible as killing a cancer cell. It must be done for the sake of the future of the whole. So be it. Be prepared for the selection process, which is now beginning. We, the elders, have been patiently waiting until the very last moment before the quantum transformation to take action to cut out this corrupted and corrupting element in the body of humanity. It is like watching a cancer grow. Something must be done before the whole body is destroyed. The destructive one-fourth must be eliminated from the social body.
I mean, how does Trump not be set up here?
Well, he has to recognize that he was sabotaged. But forget about him. The American people were sabotaged. The interests of the American people, the lives and the sanctity of the lives, our lives are desecrated. And so the only position that he has is to backtrack and say, yes, I had my intuition initially was correct. The pre-hospital approach is the right approach. And now we see the evidence of these vaccines. They don't work, and they're dangerous, and most people don't need them. So I'm pivoting now for the welfare of the American public and supporting proven data-driven solutions and not force people to go on a path of self-destruction. He has to do a mea culpa. He has to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake.
So if it's going to be used, it's better to focus on those groups who have risk of severe disease and death, rather than, as we see, some countries are using to give boosters to kill children, which is not right.
So when your government scientists tell you that a variant that's 0.3% different from SARS could masquerade as a new virus and be a threat to your health, you should know, and I'm telling you, they are lying. If they're lying, and they are, why is the pharmaceutical industry making top-up vaccines? They are making them. You should be terrified at this point, as I am, because there's absolutely no possible justification for their manufacture. But they're being made, and the world's medicines regulators have said, because they're quite similar to the original vaccines, the ones that are being given now, we won't be asking them to do any clinical safety studies. So let me just say again, the variants are not different enough to represent a threat to you. So you do not need to top up vaccines, yet they are being made, and the regulators have more or less waved them through. I'm very frightened of that. There's no possible benign interpretation of this. I believe that they're going to be used to damage your health and possibly kill you. Seriously. I can see no sensible interpretation other than a serious attempt at mass depopulation. This will provide the tools to do it and plausible deniability, because they'll create another story about some sort of biological threat, and you'll line up and get your top-up vaccines, and a few months or a year or so later, you'll die of some, you know, peculiar explicable syndrome, and they won't be able to associate it with the top-up vaccines. But that's my belief, that they're lying to you about variants so they can make damaging top-up vaccines that you don't need at all. And I think they'll be used for malign purposes. And if you don't wake up, that's what's going to happen, I think, during next year.
Well, that's really scary, and it's true. It's Dr. Michael Edon, former head of the technology division and the head scientist of respiratory viruses at Pfizer. And Dr. Robert Malone's the inventor of mRNA technology. The first year and a half, he's like, maybe they're idiots. Maybe they don't know, but this is going to hurt a lot of people. Now he's like, no, it's premeditated. It's evil. We got to stop them, because you cannot deny that. And I had Dr. Zelenko on time before last, about a month ago. And I'm not tooting our horn. I'm saying we know what we're talking about. Please listen to us, because I want to get out of this with our lives. I want you to get out of it as well. This is real. It's the biggest threat in the last human development. This is the biggest event ever. I mean, you cannot debate that this is like Hitler on steroids. And that if we don't identify it's on purpose, and if we don't identify these are war criminals, and if we don't identify they cooked it up on purpose, then they keep to being able to debate us and argue little fine points and keep people distracted. So that is not the point that we're making here. This is not some accidental thing. These aren't just companies that mean well, that screwed up and all this garbage. These are individuals that are using this to take over the planet. And it's in the Great Reset documents, and it's an incredible time to be alive. So Dr. Zev Zelenko joins us here. He needs no introduction. So much has happened. He also issued an alert yesterday that if something happens to him, that he's not died of cancer, which he's fighting right now, but that it could be foul play. I want to say the same thing. I'm getting a lot of death threats right now. We're not being dramatic, folks. We're at the tip of the spear exposing mass murderers. This is a war. And like Marshall McLuhan said 50 years ago, in the future, the war is going to be distributed to the general public. It's not going to be main armies against each other. So, Dr. Zelenko, so much going on, so much happening. Thank you so much for joining us on this Thursday broadcast.
Hi, Alex. Thanks again for having me.
I got a lot of questions and a lot to say and a lot to break down. And I want you to be able to take us where you want to go first. So take us there. And then I want to talk to you about Dr. Michael Edon, who I know you talk a lot about, getting even more hardcore now and basically aligning with what you and I are saying. It isn't about us being right, but I think it's key to really have people face what we're up against if we have any chance of beating it.
So we do have we're going to win. It's like someone who's plays chess. The better chess player you are, the more moves ahead you could see. And I see already that it's checkmate. The only question that's still a variable is how much carnage and what will be the body count of the innocent until we get to that point. And the reason why I'm doing these interviews is that I hope that spreading the true narrative and giving people hope may mitigate or reduce the body count. And so regarding Dr. Michael Yadin, I know him personally. He's a mentor of mine. He's a brilliant scientist, former vice president of Pfizer. And he told me personally that for every one child that dies from COVID, 100 die from the vaccine. The vaccine is 100 times more lethal to children than the virus. I think it's more than that, but he has the statistics and the data analysis to prove that, and he has actually presented that information to the world. He's a man of integrity. He has only what to lose from coming out of retirement. He's a very wealthy man, and he doesn't need the all this aggravation. The only reason why he's doing it is I believe that he's being motivated by altruism and a genuine desire to protect people from carnage. Now, I think that it's extremely important to understand what is the motivation behind the criminals and monsters that have done this. Because, and everything, no one should believe a word I'm saying. They should just
listen and then do their own due diligence. And I provided for you resources and references to what I'm about to say, but much of which I'm sure you know. But 30 years ago, it became obvious to the people in power and people who are the wealthiest, most powerful people on the planet that there was going to be a major catastrophe economically in 30 years. That there would be a collapse, bankruptcy of the beginning, a bankruptcy of Social Security and Medicare. And that's all known. And Biden's recent policies of increased entitlements have upped the date to the anticipated collapse to 2027, 2026, used to be 2028. That's the beginning. And within 10 years, there'll be a complete bankruptcy. That will have a tsunami effect on the global economy and threatens the stakeholders, their power and their wealth and control mechanisms over humanity, which they've had cultivated over millennia. We're talking about a force of evil that has always used human slavery as an asset. Slavery has always been the most lucrative industry in the history of humanity. And these people are amoral. They're not immoral. They're amoral, which means they are moral when it's expedient for them. They're immoral when it's expedient for them. They support the Jews when it's expedient for them. They support the Christians when it's useful to them. And then they set the Jews against the Christians and vice versa when it's useful for them. They're capitalists when they need to be. They're communists when they need to be. This level of malevolence transcends all of these systems that they have set, and they play games and create chaos and geopolitical destabilization in order to promote their own agenda. In this particular case, it became obvious to everyone that there was going to be a huge economic collapse, and they were threatened. So what have they done? They've initiated a plan over the last 30 years that will result in when the system collapses, and the dust settles, they will have the new financial infrastructure and control mechanisms to lead to the ultimate enslavement of humanity. And let me explain. In 2016, everyone knows Klaus Schwab said that within 10 years, meaning by 2026, right before the anticipated collapse, 7 billion people will be tagged with a digital tracking device, essentially. A biometric sensor that transmits biometric data with your location to a third party. And it's not science fiction. There's a patent, which we've spoken about several times.
Yeah, he said on French TV, he said, first you'll wear it, then it'll be in the skin.
Right. That's Klaus Schwab saying that, and I have that video. But in addition to that, there's a patent. The two patents that go hand in hand. The one patent that says that the current vaccines have nanotechnology in them that allows them to measure your heart rate.
Stay right there. We're going to come right back to you. This is riveting information. Dr. Zelenko, please stay with us. Now, I didn't talk to Dr. Zelenko before he came on air today. And I didn't tell him I wanted to talk about the Great Reset and engineered financial collapse and how Schwab is now pre-programming. There's going to be a big cyber attack that they claim terrorists launched. We know who will really launch it. And notice he just brought it up without us even asking, because we're all synced up. That's God consciousness. That's what scares these Satanists. He wrote an article titled, Government is the Enemy, What is Really Going On, by Dr. Zelenko. So, Doctor, please continue. You got cut off on the break getting into, they know they fraudulently created all this fractional reserve banking. They've created all these derivatives. They've taken the world over by it. But it's a scam. So instead of them all going to jail, they've come up with a plan to collapse the world economy, pose as the saviors, and depopulate the useless eaters in the process, which is what so many corrupt feudal lords have done in the past, like the Aztecs and others, when they didn't want to feed their population. Please continue.
Yeah, so the patent that I mentioned earlier gives the technology and the mechanism through which Klaus Schwab's prophecy, let's say, about 7 billion people having a digital identifier that connects them to a centralized network or grid or matrix, is going to happen. And the second patent that goes together with that is what Microsoft has from 2020. It's WO2020-06-06-06. And that patent describes the linkage of biometric data transmission to cryptocurrency. And so let me explain to you what that actually means. It means that in the future, in, say 2026 at time, there'll be no more EasyPass, there'll be no more Apple Pay, there'll be no more credit cards. It'll be biometric transactions. In other words, you are now injected with a technology that transmits your internal temperament and your internal data with your location to a third party. Now, and that will allow you to, let's say, put your hand on a scanner and then walk out from the supermarket. So the hipsters think it's cool, but the problem with that is, what if I don't want to be part of the matrix? What if I don't want to be injected with a tracking technology? Well, then I would be excluded from the system of finance. I won't be able to buy bread, at least not probably on the black market, but I won't be able to buy bread for my family. So it's a control mechanism. It's the mark of the beast. In other words, if I don't participate in the system that they have created and control, I will be excluded from the ability to do transactions, financial transactions. So they don't have to put a bullet in my head. They just have to prevent my ability to buy food for my family. And that's like the social credit system in China, where basically they could set a radius through which I can't go out of my house or put me on house arrest. They know my location. I step out of my permitted radius, let's say, and they turn off my ability to do finance. So this is a control mechanism. And the entire crisis here has nothing to do with medicine, has nothing to do with health. If there are fools on this planet right now who actually think that the governing bodies actually care about your well-being, then there's no hope for you. But the reality is that COVID-19 is a weapon of mass destruction. It was made in a laboratory. No one denies that. And I want to tell you something, Alex. I don't know if you realize that in Ralph Baric, Dr. Baric, was involved in every step of the development of this bioweapon and converting it to a human virus. He took a bad coronavirus, changed some things on it, got a patent for it, and technology to convert it to a human virus. Then Dr. Baric and Zheng Li in Wuhan, funded by the NIH, they published a paper thanking the NIH, figured out how to augment the lethality of this virus to destroy human lung tissue.
Which was key because Fauci wanted his HIV protein to be part of it so he'd get paid.
Yes, but here's something you may not know. That in March of 2020, I came across data, papers, that helped me formulate my treatment approach based on zinc and zinc ionophores, which is what the ZSTAC concept is. What I didn't realize until last week was that Ralph Baric published that paper.
Wow.
Processed that. In other words, the guy who made the bomb also created the antidote to defuse the bomb, funded by the government.
Incredible.
And
start over. Say that again. That is, no, I did not know that. I was like, oh, this is groundbreaking. Explain, oh my, you're a big researcher. That's how you found these treatments somebody else had. And then when you found the research paper, it's the guy that was engineering it all out of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, with Obama, with Fauci, moving it. Oh, this is so huge. Please start over.
And by the way, on your Skype is a link to that paper. So everything I'm saying, I have evidence for, and it should be presented because otherwise, it won't be believed.
Yes, sir. We'll either put it on screen or we'll put it in post later once this is archived. But please start over. This is huge.
All right, fine. So Ralph Baric in 1999 did research at the University of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. He was able to manipulate a bad animal virus, a bad coronavirus, converted by modulating a surface protein to infect human beings. But it was still benign. It was just infecting human beings now. And then in 2010... the same Ralph Baric figure out a way to diffuse coronaviruses by using zinc and zinc ionophores, inhibiting RNA-dependent RNA polymerase or inhibiting a coronavirus replication. In 2015, and by the way, everything's here being funded by the United States government, so because it's on the papers. And on the peer-reviewed papers, they thank the United States government, NIH or whatever, for the funding. Then in 2015, in Wuhan, Baric, together in collaboration with Zheng Li, Dr. Zheng Li, the bad lady, they call her, were able to figure out a way to augment the payload of this weapon to destroy human lung tissue and cause blood clots. They wrote a paper about it. They thanked the NIH. They published it, and they got patents on it. And here's another layer to the story. The same Ralph Barrick worked with a team from Gilead Pharmaceuticals to make remdesivir.
Which destroys the kidneys, right, and doesn't help you. This is so diabolical. So every way you can see the criminal pre-planning.
Yes. And so this is a bioweapon. And they had the antidote for it. And they suppressed the antidote intentionally, not for themselves. You think these masterminds want their own families to die? Of course not. They themselves know. This is consistent with what I knew about the executives of
Yeah, you broke that a year ago, and Joe Rogan confirmed it, that hundreds of members of Congress in Hollywood all know about this but still want it suppressed, that your protocol, they were using your protocol, but they suppress it for the general public. Talk about evil.
Yeah, also the executives of Google, I know internally that they're all taking hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And so this information, the antidote to the bomb, the poison, was known, was created by the same monsters, but they hid it from you and me. Now, when doctors like myself stumbled across these approaches because we had necessity, the patients were dying, and so we needed some help. We needed to treat the patients. And so immediately, anything that would help, hydroxychloroquine, then ivermectin, and even the concept of early intervention, getting rid of this infection before the complications begin. Everything was vilified, marginalized, and doctors that were advocating for it were deplatformed. So then,
they knew it, they had it planned, they censored it, they did it all. We'll come back with Dr. Zelenko to explain how huge this is straight ahead. Please stay with us. And again, I would apologize for 14 minutes of ads an hour, but that's the standard for talk radio and TV, and I hate going to break with Dr. Zelenko saying something so important, but It's all hardwired in by the satellite feeds that literally cut into the radio stations. That's why the deplatforming off the main internet, we stayed on air because we had over 200 radio stations, and we still do. So we're very thankful to those stations. But I am going to start the new year three nights a week, at least three nights a week, a multi-hour commercial-free podcast direct to you, the viewers and listeners, with guests and callers, where I might take a break to go to the bathroom or get a cup of coffee or something, but it's not going to have regular commercial breaks. So look for that in the new year, something I promise to do. The world's so crazy, we're here. But Dr. Zelenko, I know our listeners are smart. They're awesome people, but I want them to get what you're saying. You're laying out any grand jury. It would take a few weeks to give a grand jury all this, but they would definitely indict Fauci for what you're saying. You're laying out the compendium of basically how this criminal plan was set up. And when you see how criminal it was, like you were saying last time you were on, months before the outbreak, Gates and Fauci are already sending messages saying, get the vaccine ready. They're like, wait, they didn't make the vaccine. No, they own the patents to what vaccine they, quote, wanted to then be sent out to the major makers, which they also got paid money from. So the trail, I think is what you're saying, of them scientifically preparing this is one of the most open and shut premeditated murder cases ever. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying this is the worst crime in human history. It's a genocide. It's mass murder, first degree premeditated genocide and mass murder. And it's being driven essentially by demonic personalities that are absolutely obsessed with power and wealth. But more than wealth, I think it's power. Because once you have $100 billion, let's say, what's the difference if you have $150 billion? You don't feel it. But power and being able to enslave others, it fulfills the perverse desires of these narcissists, egotists, and really, I would call them Satan incarnate or the embodiment of the essence of evil.